100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
There you go. Welcome back, everybody, and it's time for Vic's Picks. As I told you, this is Vic's musical journey, so let's get him back in here. Vic, how are you?
Doing well, sir.
All right, buddy. What do we got this week?
So, number 21 on this list, The Great 28 by Chuck Berry.
Yes.
So, this album was released in 1982. It's a compilation album of his songs that were recorded between 1955 and 1965 when he was with Chess Records. And I knew heading into this about a little bit about Chuck Berry, a very little bit about him, but I knew he was considered, you know, one of the godfathers of rock and roll. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh yeah, yeah. One of the inventors. One of the inventors of rock and roll, no question.
Yeah. Yeah, and I read a little more about that as well. But you know, while I was reading about Chuck Berry for this, and I came across a quote by John Lennon that kind of summed it up for me on how big Chuck Berry was to rock and roll. And John Lennon is somebody that I'm growing to love as I listen to the Beatles and also some of his solo stuff. But he said, if you tried to give rock and roll a different name, you might have called it Chuck Berry. Mm-hmm. So, but I knew I was about to listen to an important album. And an album that a lot of music critics say helped shape the sound of rock and roll. So Tom's got a little bit of a lead-off cut here. It's called Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my toe will not stop if that song's going. That was his first hit song, and I wanted to share a little bit of what I learned about that. If that's all right, because I think it's a really cool story.
Yeah.
For someone like me too, who didn't know a lot about this great album, but I love these backstories too. So Maybelline, it goes back to the point in Chuck Berry's life when his career was just starting to take off. From what I read about it, he was in his late 20s. It was the summer of 1955, and he'd been playing blues clubs in St. Louis. That's where he's from, St. Louis. And but he wasn't well known nationally at this point in his life, and that was about to change. And it changed here in Chicago. That's where he got his big break, thanks in part to Muddy Waters. This is where they met. They met here in Chicago. Chuck Berry drove up to see him at a show. He was a fan of Muddy Waters. And Chuck Berry says, in his words, he walked up to Muddy Waters after this show that he'd just seen and asked for his autograph. And he told him that he played guitar too. And he asked him how he could get a record deal like he had. And, you know, here's Chuck Berry asking Muddy Waters for advice. I love that story. Yeah. And they're both icons. But, and we just covered a Muddy Waters album.
Did.
Yeah,
yep.
Anthology.
Yep.
Number 38 on this Rolling Stone magazine's top 100 greatest albums of all time. But according to Chuck Berry, here's what Waters told him. He said that he should hook up with Leonard Chess at Chess Records. It's on 21st Street now, here in Chicago. I read somewhere that it was on 47th, so I don't know if it moved. But anyway, I don't know if that was a typo.
Chess was on South Michigan.
Yeah, South Michigan.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. But
but
one of the stories I read said it was on 47th and Michigan. But I know now it's on 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a call in to Chess Records. You can actually still take a tour.
Yeah,
yeah. You can be inside these studios. So I put a call into them to find out where this was actually recorded. Was it on 47th or 21st? But anyway, eventually. He went there and met Leonard Chess, and eventually they recorded what would later become Berry's first hit that we just heard, Maybelline.
Yeah.
So Chuck Berry wrote each of these 28 songs on this album. He wrote every single one of them, and obviously some fantastic guitar licks on this album. If you're a guitar fan, you've heard it, I'm sure. But if you haven't, this is a great album for guitar. Good time to play another cut here. This one's from track 6, case in point, Rollover Beethoven. Tom?
Local DJ, Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today.
Yeah, Beethoven, I knew that song. A lot of the songs on this album, kind of they're basically kind of about guitars, fast cars, and chasing girls. That's kind what this album's.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and going back to all the way when he was in high school, you could tell from the perspective of some of the songs when he was in high school, writing about chasing girls, racing cars, and so it's a fun album. And nearly half of these songs reached either top 10 or top 40 on either the Billboard R&B Singles Chart or its 100, Hot 100. So a lot of hits on this album. It's about an hour and 9 minutes long of this early rock and roll. His lyrics are great, too, though, I thought. I read that his ability to write great lyrics kind of gets overlooked at times, I guess, because maybe of the guitar, you know, the way he played guitar. But I think this cut we're about to play is a good example of some of Chuck Berry's writing skills. Even I knew this one. Track 8, School Day, Ring, Ring Goes the Bell. Tom?
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. Hoping to pass, working your fingers right down to the bone, and the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell.
Another classic, the very next song on the album, one of his most well-known songs. It's track 9 on this compilation album, Rock and Roll Music. Tom?
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music, any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it, any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music, if you wanna dance with me, if you wanna dance with me. I have no kick against my...
Yes, this song, by the way, might be his most covered.
Yeah, that's what I read about
it. Johnny Good obviously has been covered by everybody, but rock and roll music has also been famously covered by everybody, including most famously the Beatles, who covered it and had an album called Rock and Roll Music, which was a compilation record that came out early 70s, I think. Rock and roll music.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, man, this album, I knew a lot of the songs on it. Well, you know, maybe almost half of them I had heard before, so I mean, it must have been huge because it's...
He's the pioneer of rock and roll. He's the man. He's the riff master. Nobody had ever done anything with a guitar like that before, except for Marty McFly.
Yeah, of course. It's your cousin, it's your Marvin.
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 Marvin
Berry.
Berry? But yeah. So, right. But yeah. No, I mean that's the he's really he's the guy who invented it all. It all goes back to him. And if you talk to anybody who's in rock and roll today, if you don't mention Chuck Berry as an influence, then, you know, you're an idiot.
But and is it just mainly because of the way he played the guitar?
Absolutely.
I guess?
The way he played the guitar, the way he wrote songs. I mean, the guy is, you know, this is rock and roll. And it did not exist. It did not exist before Chuck Berry.
Yeah. Let's fit one more in here real quick. Let's go, Johnny B. Goode, Tom. Yeah. So many great songs on this album. The Great 28 by Chuck Berry. This is another one that I'll be playing around my apartment all the time.
And the other thing is that not only in addition to the way he played the guitar and the songs that he wrote, there was a real, you know, rock and roll ultimately is about shaking things up and it's about rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Berry, had that in spades. There's just no question about it. I always try to recommend a movie to you.
Yeah.
You need to see this incredible documentary called Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll directed by the great Taylor Hackford. And it features an all-star lineup, including Keith Richards and Eric Clapton. And it's a documentary about Chuck Berry. And not only is it a great documentary that really gets it behind, because he was a controversial dude, Chuck Berry. He really was.
What was the controversy?
Well, there was some stuff about, you know, putting cameras in female bathrooms and, he was sometimes a very, very difficult man to work with. And Taylor Hackford had full access to his life and made this incredible documentary that came out in the late 80s and then ends with some insane performances with an insane lineup, including, like I said, Keith Richards, Eric Clapton, and even more. It is a great movie.
I will check that out.
Hail, hail, rock and roll. The great thing about Chuck Berry was, like, as he toured until the day he died. And he would show up, like, when he became like Chuck Berry, he would walk in, and this is what you knew when you hired Chuck Berry to play your club, you know. He would show up, he'd walk in the front door, he'd have his guitar in his guitar case. You provided the band, okay? The club provided the band. You walk in, you pay him in cash in an envelope.
Mm.
He counts the money, he puts the cash in his guitar case, he goes out, doesn't even meet the musicians, never even meets them before, walks out. Says, okay, let's go, and tells the band what they're going to play. They have to know his songs.
And make sure it really cooks.
Yeah, he plays it, finishes his set, puts his guitar back into his case, takes his money, walks out the front door.
Wow.
And I had a friend of mine, saw him at the Cubby Bear one time, and this was like in the late 90s. So I'm at the Cubby Bear. Friend of mine was there. Chuck Berry walked into the front of the Cubby Bear at Clark and Addison, parked a Cadillac in front of Clark and Addison, gets out of a Cadillac, guitar, walks back. You see him come walk around, walks out, gets back on stage, does his show, walks out, guitar. And the Cadillac's been sitting out there the whole time. Finishes the show, walks back out the front door, gets in the Cadillac, and drives away.
That's phenomenal.
What a boss, dude. Holy cow.
Chuck Berry, man.
Can I, real quickly, I know we got a break. Did I not hear that also another person, another great musician who did that, took cash before the show? Was that Aretha Franklin that used to do that? Or
I don't know. I don't know about
that. I might
that.
Be wrong. Let's delete that. However, we should mention it's been 1 year today since her death.
Really? She died on the same day, on the anniversary of Elvis's death?
August 16th, last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just realized that. I didn't realize that it was also coincides with Elvis Presley's.
There you go. All right. Well, Chuck Berry, the great Chuck Berry. Outstanding.
Phenomenal.
Okay. We got a break here for the weather, and when we come back, we will jump back into more of Vic's picks.
Well, if you feel like it, we'll get your lover and a reel and rock it. We'll let a lover and a groove on up now. You'll become a reel and rock it. We'll
there you go. There you go. There's ELO's cover of Roll Over Beethoven by Chuck Berry. Good old ELO. And they had a huge hit with it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Big hit. With that Chuck Berry song. All right, we're back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're doing Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn is going through the top 100 albums of all time, learning about music. And what do we got next?
Well, the next one on the list is number 20, Thriller by Michael Jackson. I know that album almost like the back of my hand because I was in junior high when it came out, and everybody listened to it pretty much on loop. So I'm going to skip that one because I know that one, and I'm here, you know, I'm learning about the great albums. I already know that one, so I skipped it and I went to number 19, Astral Weeks by Van Morrison,
which is one of my favorite albums ever in the history of music. I love this album.
I would love to interview you and find out what you were going through in your life when you fell in love with this. It's a beautiful album.
Yeah,
it's a very pretty.
And
album.
I first of all, I love Van Morrison. I'm just a massive Van Morrison
now,
fan
you,
in general.
Were you like many from what I've read of the other Van Morrison fans and kind of freaked out when you got home and listened to it?
Well, because
it's very different,
it's,
apparently.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a second album, so so right out of the gate. You know, I mean, it was a departure from the first, but he was always doing experimental stuff throughout throughout his entire career, has always taken risks and did, you know, things that were outside the box. But yeah, no, this is an album. I was probably 15 or 16 when I first heard it, and it kind of blew my mind.
Mm.
And every time I hear it, I think it's one of the best albums of all time.
And it's, yeah, it's very different. I mean, it is only his second studio album, but from what I read, it took people, I guess it caught a lot of people off guard because, I mean, because what did he do before that? I mean, the big hit was a more kind of a pop sounding song was Brown Eyed Girl was a big hit on his first album. But yeah, this is Astral Weeks, his second studio album. Tom has some of the lead off and title track, Tom.
And the Dutch and the back road stop. Could you find me? Or would you kiss my eyes? Laying you down. Silence easy to be born again.
Yeah, you told me this was a beautiful album. That's beautiful. And especially, I mean, if you're wearing headphones, I think it's important on this album, especially because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of musicians, jazz musicians that were brought into the studio for this. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And you kind of miss some of it if you're just like in a car or, but put headphones in and you're listening to Astral Weeks, I think. But so, yeah.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, it was an unusual thing at that time to bring in like it's just stand-up bass. There's flute, there's all kinds of these instruments that you didn't hear on pop or records at that time, and the arrangements are just so lush and beautiful, and each song like really builds. I just think it's a gorgeous, I think flawless record.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, especially about what you said with and the flute is like in the front, the forefront in some of these songs, but you can really hear it. But yeah, he's from Northern Ireland, Sir George Ivan Morrison. But this album was recorded in New York City at Century Sound Studios. He was in the studio for 2 months, took him 2 months in 1968, September and October. Album came out in November that same year by Warner Brothers. But I'd never heard of it, this album. In fact, I was going through this album Wednesday, I think, after work. I stayed in the newsroom and I showed everybody in the newsroom. There were four reporters in the newsroom at the time. Nobody had seen this album cover or heard of it.
I just don't even know what to say.
What a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, exactly. I really don't even know what to say.
I was going to say the same thing, Tom. I think they're like me. It's just maybe news people prioritize music low in their life. I don't know.
If someone held up Astral Weeks and said, what is this? I would say one of the greatest albums ever. I just can't believe that nobody's ever heard of it. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah, I listened to this whole album twice. I'm still a little gray on what it's about, because first of all, a lot of the music critics that I read said it's a song cycle or a concept album, and I spoke with you about this, Nick. A lot of them say that concept that Van Morrison was going after for Astral Weeks was a concept that he continued exploring in his later albums, like you said. But this sort of idea that music can be about freedom, some of the critics also said he was exploring the idea of earthly love and heaven. Van Morrison, though, is quoted as having said it's not about him, it's not about his life, that it's all made up, totally fictional, bits and pieces of conversations he's overheard from other people, sharing things he saw in movies or read in books or whatever. So I guess for this album, it's about whatever you feel it's about, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it celebrated its last year was the 40th anniversary of this record. I'm sorry, 50th anniversary of this record. And and I had read a little bit about it because they did like a celebration of it, the 50th anniversary of it last year. And there's a lot of stuff that Van Morrison was quoted as on the 50th anniversary was a lot of this was inspired also by dreams. It's a very ethereal record, and it has a dreamlike quality to it. And he does talk about like some of the use of the lyrics of it and what he's describing. Kind of came to him in and out of dreams.
I want you to hear a song, Nick. I think you'll like it because you've told me it's your favorite one. Tom's got Sweet Thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll show out the ferry boats and they'll get high. On a blue ocean against tomorrow's sky.
I want, if we can fit it in quickly, I think track five for me kind of sums up the how unique this album is with the compilation of the songs themselves. So track five is called The Way Young Lovers Do.
The fields all wet with rain. I'm back along the lane again. There in the sunshine.
The composition of these songs, like you said, it's like pop, jazz, maybe even funk a little. I don't know. It's a lot going on in these songs. It's a great album.
It's a beautiful record.
19.
And Sweet Thing, the one that you played before that, is one of my favorite songs of all time. I think it's one of the most beautiful songs ever written. And this album, actually, Astral Weeks, the first marriage that I had, it was our dinner music during our reception, was Astral Weeks, because we both... adored the record so much. But yeah, no, I think it's a really special album. Really special.
Very hard to figure out which cuts to play on these two, because the songs are so different from the beginning to the middle to the end.
Very good. And it's also not the most radio friendly record, but which is fine with me. And I personally think that it's too low at 19. That's just me. I really do. Wow. I think 19 is too low for Astral Weeks. So anyway, but you liked it though.
Love this album.
Okay, great. There you go. So Van Morrison's Astral Weeks and Chuck Berry's Great 28. And Vic will continue his journey, and we will jump in again next week at 3:30. Thanks, Vic.